trick or treat, motherfucker.
To show you.
You know what that means? We gotta do, Phil. We gotta
bring the pain, man.
We gotta chap her up like a lot.
We gotta make it
really
vocally here.
Yeah, like
gotta go. I mean, I can do it. This is part of my natural.
Oh, beat. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, across the way. But this will be interesting. Like
I was hanging out with Savannah, and she was like, "God, you're so loud, but it's kind of hot." I'm like, "Hell yeah!"
And you're like, "Yep, that baritone coming here."
Yeah. Oh my god, are we recording now?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sweet. Alright, so, first of all, I just want to say, because of the content of this episode, I want to make it a tradition, not that we have many Michael Myers movies left, but
We still have a few.
I just wish I was there for the cinematic masterpiece known as Halloween, Season of the Witch, but I've brought... not only did I just bring my favorite jacket of all time.
Every time. You're wearing a Halloween shirt.
You are.
I am wearing a Halloween shirt.
Anthony Fuentes brought his Michael Myers mask.
I did.
I did purposely wear my Scream shirt today just to be kind of spiteful.
Nice. Hey, but I fucking love Scream too, though. So, Scream 5, by the way, fucking love this.
Anybody
seen
it?
Yeah. I saw it in theaters.
We saw it in theaters, yeah.
I brought my favorite lunchbox brought to you by our friends over at Fright Rags.
Oh.
And, I brought some candy for you guys.
Oh, shit, we got candy? Do you have three candies?
I brought chocolate because I'm a chocolate dude.
Yeah.
And so I brought three.
Ooh, give me this Reese's
so
right here.
Whatever you guys want.
Fucking
the M&M's, or you want the Reese's Take 5?
I will take. You pick.
Did
you have a preference?
No. You
I will
go
take
for
the
it. M&M's. All right, cool. And I will gladly pour my claw
into my thermos.
Fucking get it out.
There you go. Yay. Just making all the noise on the mic. Yeah,
I know. I'm
go
so
Phil.
Sorry. Yes, absolutely.
It is not looking pretty.
But thank you very much for having me on board for this episode. I am very excited.
Oh,
cannot
yeah.
wait to talk about the classic, the immaculate, the masterpiece known as John Carpenter's 1978 Halloween. Let's fucking go, baby!
Are you going to tell him?
I was going to say, you're
tell
the one
what?
Who invited him on.
Are you going to tell him?
Tell me what.
I don't know.
No.
He only got half the title right.
Phil,
yeah.
We're covering Halloween Resurrection.
What?
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute.
I may have lied to him to get him here.
Wait a minute.
Now he's here.
Wait, we're not talking about Halloween 1978?
No.
We could...
The one from 2002?
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
The one from 2002.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No!
Oh, boy. Thankfully, I brought a lot of booze today.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, you did. Oh, so Halloween Resurrection, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that totally revitalized the franchise, right, Phil?
Oh, God.
The one that absolutely just cemented Laurie Strode.
My God. Yeah.
This
Halloween
one,
Resurrection, eh?
This one is really the one filled with iconography.
Iconography.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just dive right in. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
She lives!
I live! I live!
Webster beats death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us this week, in case you couldn't already tell, Phil Acevedo.
Hello!
Hey.
Hello!
Thank you guys for having me back once again. You didn't have to, but you did, and I'm here, and we're talking about good old 1978 Halloween. I mean, good old 2002 Halloween.
God damn it.
Just a little bit later.
I was just a few years off.
Yeah, right up top, I'm going to go ahead and apologize for my voice. I got COVID, and I fucking made it my bitch.
Yes.
That's right.
So.
You gave COVID a stone cold stunner.
I did.
All the way to hell.
all the fucking way to hell.
After 5 days. After 5 days.
Yeah.
After being a miserable, like, lump on my couch, Anthony very, very kindly ran me supplies.
Mm-hmm. All the way from Los Angeles.
It was very sweet. I think those last three cucumber lime Gatorades is really what pushed me into health.
Oh, good, because actually they were the only three left at that Target, and they were all the way at the top shelf in the back.
Nice.
And I had to run around the entire store to find a lady to help me. And she was like this old Mexican, like, just Latina lady, like, just real, like, mama energy right there. And she said, oh, mijo, give me a second. And she got a little fucking stepping stool, and she was got a little extended arm to get these three Gatorades. Like, I'm like, I can do it. And she's like, no, policy, I can't let you do it, mijo.
Were you just like, listen, my friend with COVID specifically requested these?
No, I was like, I fucking love that flavor of Gatorade. Please, ma'am, can I have it?
Jump in the line. The cucumber line. Okay. I believe you.
Oh, man. Oh, so anyway, I got COVID. I'm okay now. The only reason I'm okay now is because I was triple vaccinated.
That's right.
Yes.
So.
Hell yes.
So get your shots. Also, Alec completes the trifecta. Now we've all had COVID.
We've all had it. I can't believe I made it this long without getting it.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Phil almost died from it. So, yeah, you know?
I came pretty close to death.
Yeah, he did. I was just miserable, but I could breathe.
Right. Yeah. You guys scare me. But you guys weren't even vaccinated.
That was pre-vax. That's true. Yeah, that was pre-vax. There was no vaccine at the time.
Oh, man. So...
we could have had to perform a resurrection for Phil.
Oh, fuck.
I was going to make a sad Laurie Strode joke.
Oh, okay. There's still time, Alex.
I apologize if there's any muffled coughing in the background or me obviously sounding like not myself. It's because... COVID.
Oh, she's trying to hit those high notes and it's just not coming. I can tell right now. I can see it.
I can't go high. I can't.
After doing 170 episodes, I'm just like, oh, poor baby. Pobrecita.
See? Oh, there he went.
Oh, there he goes. There he goes.
Oh, shit.
Heard that. All right. Heard that.
Puberty Alex. There you go. Yeah.
14-year-old Alex.
No! Not again!
There you go. Yes. That's like I like him. It hurts.
Fuck you guys. That's good.
What does IMDb have to say about this?
Yeah, let's talk about the
cinematic masterpiece.
Fuck you guys.
All right, so this cinematic masterpiece that belongs easily in the Criterion Collection, known as Halloween Resurrection.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, keep pushing the buttons.
3 years after he last terrorized his sister, Michael Myers confronts her again. Before traveling to Haddonfield to deal with the cast and crew of a reality show which is being broadcast from his old home.
Even the synopsis sounds fucking stupid.
It's so dumb.
False advertisement, if you ask me.
It hurts my heart.
I cannot wait. I mean, like, first of all, before we get started, jump in on this. Yeah. I mean, all right, it's no Written secret.
Candy, by
I,
the way.
I, yeah, I love...
Phil brought candy,
thank you.
So...
Thank you.
This is just going to be a clusterfuck of an episode.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Plus, we got the new claws, and we're ready to rock, man. Mm. So, I love...
These are so good,
like,
by the
Halloween... The watermelon lime one?
The
berry
one is
really good. The berry one...
My favorite is the yuzu. Definitely give it a shout.
That's really good. Shout out to the White Claw right there. So, all right, Halloween is a franchise that I hold near and dear to my heart forever. Right? This one, I look, we've had Webster, you and I, we have a history of having our ups and downs with the Thorn trilogy, and that's understandable. You know, that's very divisive is the word I guess we should say, right? But Halloween Resurrection is like an easy... Nah, fuck this, man. We're gonna pretend...
I think it's a collective now.
It's the kingdom of the crystal skull of the Halloween franchise. We just pretend it never happened.
Mm. Fun fact, when I was a kid, I loved that movie.
Oh,
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Remember, I was... Keep in mind the age that I was. Like, I didn't really have, like, critical thought.
Yeah.
I was just like... Cool, Shia LaBeouf. Cool, aliens. Like,
yeah.
Cool, fire ants.
Yeah. Right. If I watched
Tarzan
it...
Tarzan Monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I watched it now, I'm sure I would think it was the dumbest movie ever.
Oh, yeah.
You're like,
oh, yeah.
COVID should have taken me.
Yeah. Dude, but Kate Blanchett, man, she was nerve derby.
She's in most things, really.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I rewatched Thor Ragnarok while I was sick.
Oh, she's a nerve derby now, too. Oh, God.
Everyone in that movie. I'm just like, goddamn.
Alright, you got this thing with Taika Waititi, which is understandable.
We're gonna
Where's this photo?
You can't talk about it because I told him I'm not gonna shoehorn my current like horn dog levels of obsession.
But have you
with
seen
Taika
this
Waititi?
Photo of Taika Waititi on the set with
yes, of course
with,
I've seen it.
That photo is legendary. It's like a behind the scenes photo of Taika and
Kate
Blanchett,
and
it's
she's great. In like full costume, and he's like being a director, so he has something on his fucking iPad.
Yeah.
And it's just so like it's
memeable.
It's so memeable.
Yeah, it's a meme template.
She
for
also
sure.
is like, I don't know that like just like how it's positioned. Like she just looks so much taller than him.
Mm. Yeah, she's probably like standing
she's gigantic,
on a step,
yeah.
and he's
well,
like...
she's all naturally very tall, but so is Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
But yeah, my current obsession, I'll talk about it at the end of the episode,
oh, yeah,
is Taika Waititi. All
right, good, good. As you should. That's a good-looking chap right there. Creative dude, too. I love that guy.
But yeah.
Who does not love
He's got
him?
It all.
Yeah. So, written by Larry Brand and Sean Hood, directed by Rick Rosenthal,
which
I cannot believe.
Oh, Rick.
If you look at his whole other filmography, you might be able to believe it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, that's true. Starring none other... then Busta Rhymes.
I was losing my shit. I was like, Busta, what are you doing?
He's like, break your neck.
Mr. Rhymes, what do they have on you?
Starring Busta Rhymes, Bianca Kajlish, Thomas Ian Nicholas, Ryan Merriman, Sean Patrick Thomas, Save the Last Dance, Tyra Banks, and none other than the Scream Queen herself, Jamie Lee Curtis.
They did her so dirty. So dirty.
I'm not even ready for this, man.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a fun time.
Yes. Box office budget was none other than 15 million smackaroos.
God. Oh, shit.
And the release date was July 12th, 2002. Grossed over $37.6 million.
Which qualifies as a disappointment in financially, but also in many other ways, too, which we're going to definitely dive into.
Yeah.
2002, July, I remember seeing this. I saw it with my dad.
Really?
Yeah, this was my first Halloween movie I've ever seen in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Because, that's disappointing as shit.
Yeah. Yeah, first one ever. I think I was like 14 maybe at this time. And I had already seen H2O. And then before the resurrection, I did all my research and I watched all the other ones. And then I came to this one and I was like, yeah, this one sucked. And I was 14, believing that now. And you know, 20 years later, almost 20 years, this thing's almost 20 years old.
Yeah.
I still think it sucks now. Yeah.
Well, thankfully, we actually heard that excerpt in a Halloween H2O episode.
Yeah. Am I repeating myself?
But we're back again. All right, Phil, with the backstory.
All right, nice.
I was waiting for it to come back for discussion, but I'm glad we kicked off that way.
Yes, yes. All right. Go ahead, Anthony. Pause for cough.
Oh, keeping that one in. All right, so.
Why would you? Coughing ASMR?
We're pausing for cough.
No, we're not.
So, Anthony, can you help us out here? What happened... give us a little brief synopsis of what's going on with the production of this.
Oh, listen, we're going to talk about the entire failure from step to step here because it's a very fascinating tale of corporate greed and when contract negations, Jamie Lee Curtis wishes. But when contract negotiations go wrong. So, the ending to Halloween H2O felt definitive thanks to a workaround to Jamie Lee Curtis's demands via Kevin Williamson. Mm-hmm. As discussed, of course, in our episode on the movie in October of 2021, a different time, I would say. To reiterate, Jamie Lee Curtis wanted to kill off Michael Myers. Producer Mustafa Akkad told her, legally, the shape could not die. Legally, this is a law. So,
much like murder, don't kill people.
Yeah, don't kill people. Don't kill Michael Myers. He kills whoever he wants. probably not legally though. She threatened to leave the eventually very successful Halloween H2O until Williamson conjured up some bullshit, and everybody happily were able to complete their contracts. Partially, part of that contract was that Jamie Lee Curtis would have to come back and retcon the ending from, again, the way more successful Halloween H2O. I know I did a typo, Alex. Please. Water edition.
Did you just say retcon the what, Anthony?
The enema.
The enema?
The
more like...
More like the ninth inning? Eighth inning in this one. Of course, this actually destroyed all the goodwill of the franchise. Now, Mustafa Akkad and son/future franchise shepherd Malek Akkad tried to spin this with the press, telling them that Jamie Lee Curtis was so impressed with the script, just so about it, that for the new Halloween, obviously, that she wanted a big part in the movie. Now, interestingly, you don't do this in Hollywood press, but Curtis went out of her way to assure everyone it was just about the contract. She fucking hated this sequel.
That's funny as shit. I can see her doing that, too. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we've all seen her live. You know she doesn't hold back.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, very unfiltered, that one.
So she was like, no, listen, everybody. I don't want to do this. It appears the creative team was running out of ideas, as it would be around 4 years between installments for the franchise. And the world had changed quite a bit in that time frame. Yes, when audiences got H2O, the Clinton era was in full swing, which gave us gave the U.S. some much-needed budget surpluses, and a whole-ass Monica Lewinsky trial.
Oh, shit.
By the time The Resurrection, whatever this bullshit is, was in full production, there was a whole-ass terrorist attack on American soil and a war in the Middle East. Oh, and spying. Lots of spying. And that was due in large part to this thing called the Internet. The World Wide Web, yeah. Sure, it played a part in the 90s as well, as detailed in our actual Scream 2 episode, where the original script leaked to a very rudimentary online environment. But things were more advanced by the early 2000s. Movies like Donnie Darko were seeing a huge amount of online buzz in these burgeoning communities that flooded forums in the early aughts. Video also became a thing thanks to programs like QuickTime Player.
QuickTime!
Yep, which gave access to downloadable content, and Real Player, which could do this thing known as a webcast at the time. What is the webcast, you say? We actually call it live streaming now. Phil!
Oh,
you have experience with live streaming, don't you?
Oh, I see that. Hey, that's really cool. Yeah.
Don't you have experience with live streaming?
I do. I do. Yes. I am a Twitch streamer as of like late January. And yeah, it's called Shut the Fill Up. And if you want to have a good time, I usually stream on Tuesdays and Thursdays, except for this week because I had a lot going on. Saw Deftones last night. I'm trying to recover from that. And I'm spending my Thursdays with you beautiful people. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, live on Twitch.
See? Nice.
And that's your mid-episode plug.
Thank you, by the way. I saw that in the script. Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah, no worries. See, it comes into the context of the episode. I know how to write. Jesus.
You do. You're so good at it. Gonna need Phil to teach us how to stream.
Oh, honestly, the horrible people's need to be on Twitch.
Well, the next...
This banter... in video game format?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be great.
It'd be a delight.
And there's obviously in one of our video game episodes, the next installment in a long-running series is a co-op game.
Yes, it is.
So, before that happens...
Oh, man, it's so hard, though!
You got me. We're fine. We'll figure it out. Oh,
also, the last time I played, it was like one of the first video games I've ever played.
Okay. I know how to carry people in games. It's fine.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
I can be better now!
But of course, going back to the 90s, in fact, sometime between the jizz-stained rest and the removal of a number of our rights in the name of national security, President Bill Clinton participated in the first ever presidential webcast, and the whole world got a far better look at this this technology can do, which was mind-blowing at the time, actually. I was still a child around this, so I didn't really know, but apparently, big fucking deal. So, now was the time to do it with a good old Michael Myers for some fucking reason. And thus, the actually produced script, Halloween, MichaelMyers.com was born. That was the original title.
I'm sorry.
Wow. That was the original title.
Wow. And I'm going to say, in the same vein that, like, Fear.com, like, this is the same era that, like, Fear.com came out.
Yes, yeah.
I want to say it's the same era that... what's it called?
Stay Alive?
No, Stay Alive, yes, that kind of,
Unfriended.
No.
No, that was way later.
No. It's another one, but it's basically, like, it's called, like, Chain Mail or something.
I don't know. Freaky Link's also a good show that was on Fox.
But basically, just everyone's fascination with, like, what if horror happened on the internet?
Oh, yeah. Shit, dog. Yeah, I can't close the browser. God damn it.
Like, yeah, so, sorry.
What a time. And now Miss Raspy Voice over here has to try to fucking deliver. Let's do it.
Hold on.
She's, what's her name? She's got the, from the God damn it, from the Warriors. He's like, "Can you dig it?"
Oh, yeah, the DJ.
The DJ voice lady.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was like, "You better run, Warriors." Mm-hmm. That's you right now. That's you right now.
I was thinking Phoebe from Friends also. Mm. Like, when she does a smelly cat, but her voice is all sick, so it actually sounds really good.
You got this, Webster.
Smelly cat.
Oh, see, the good impression.
That was just me singing smelly cat.
Ah, you did it accurately. Way to go.
So... Oh, damn it, that was supposed to go higher. But my voice cracked. I just did it again.
You got this.
I can't do this.
Claw time. Just claw will get you through.
No, it won't.
Well, I have a Reese's. No, we believe in you.
Okay. Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah, no, we totally believe in you. It's cool.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks, guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I thought I wasn't eating during that. Jesus.
God.
So, Mustafa Akkad was totally on board with bringing Michael Myers into the digital age. Some of the other producers felt this idea was, well, stupid. In fact, they wanted to ditch Michael Myers entirely and go back to the Season of the Witch formula with an entirely new storyline.
That's because the ending to H2O was so fucking good.
Yeah. They were just like, we're done. We did it. We tied it up with a fucking bow.
Let's take off the chains. Let's really do something with this concept.
Yeah. Cut his fucking head off, dude.
Right. To avoid another shitstorm, the team decided to take a poll on the internet, and it turns out late 90s, early 2000s folks were kind of into the idea of keeping Mr. Myers around. Thus, Mustafa once again got his way.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I just picture him in like a boardroom just being like, like Mr. Burns style, just like married.
To the internet.
Yeah. I feel like he rigged it.
Probably.
You know, right? There's only like four people online at the time. He's just like,
right.
Hey, family, get in there.
Yeah, I know. Shit. They're just, just promoted it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they changed the name and moved the script forward, pushing past its planned 2000 release. That's right. Now the name of, that's right. Now was the time for Halloween H2K, Evil Never Dies.
Oh,
that's even worse.
That's somehow worse than H2O.
That's worse than H2O.
I would have absolutely preferred Halloween MichaelMyers.com. Like 100%.
Halloween HBK. Dun, 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 dun.
I think he's cute. I think he's sexy. He's got the knives that drives the girls wild. He's just a creepy boy.
Creepy boy. I can't go that high. Creepy boy. Yeah, I can't go that high. Damn it. So, early rumors. I'm so mad. Okay.
You got this.
We're good. You're good.
So, early rumors, thanks Angel Fire, indicated that the writers expected the surviving cast of H2O to return, and the film would take place in Haddonfield and again be shot in Salt Lake City, just like Halloween 4. They even approached Halloween 4 director Dwight H. Little to return after firing TV director Whitney Ramsick from the project. He turned their asses down.
God damn, he's like, wait, it's called H2K? Evil Never Die? Oh, buddy, I got better things to do.
Yeah, he's like, no, thank you.
I gotta do a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
So, there aren't any reports on why this particular script didn't work or why the cast didn't return, but common sense tells us they had a lot of bigger projects in the works, such as Josh Hartnett with The Virgin Suicides, and Black Hawk Down.
All three great movies.
Yeah.
Such good movies, all three of them.
Virgin Suicides just got announced for the Criterion Collection.
I saw that!
Oh, yeah.
Did it because of you.
Congratulations, Sofia Coppola. Fantastic movie.
Yes. I love the Virgin Suicides.
Also, super underrated.
Yeah.
Very good movie.
I really liked it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, a movie that I've seen.
Oh, nice. There you go. Black Hawk Down saw it in theaters with my papa.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I saw it with my dad too.
Hey.
Yeah, Ridley Scott movie, man.
Yep,
and also Josh Hartnett.
It was fucking intense, dude. I was so stressed that whole runtime.
Dude, that movie was insane. Yeah. Good war movie. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways. Sorry.
Along with LL Cool J, who was doing Any Given Sunday and Deep Blue Sea.
Mm. Both movies I saw in theaters also. That's right. Oh.
Nice.
We need to cover Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, we definitely do.
I think that would be fun.
Eventually.
That would be
I know
great.
You told me I need to see it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. You got.
Well, I got to show you the music video for My Head is Like a Shark's Fin.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Oh, the 90s.
Still, They had Jamie Lee Curtis, and now they needed to play the nostalgia strings even louder. They did this by enlisting Halloween 2 director Rick Rosenthal, who was mostly working on comedies by that point. Very not successful and kind of unfunny comedies. Oh, and a very dramatic flop called Distant Thunder that starred John Lithgow and Ralph Macchio.
Wow. Yeah, talk about kind of just floating until the next opportunity came by.
Okay,
huh?
But leave John Lithgow out of this.
Oh, I mean, sure, it felt like a good concept from what I saw, but...
Yeah, I mean, sure, Ralph Macchio too, but like John Lithgow in particular, he's a very good actor.
Yeah,
he is. And you know what? I fucking love Cobra Kai, so I'm glad that at least...
I still need to watch that.
That's so good.
I need to watch it,
so
too.
So good.
Yeah, John Lithgow as the Trinity Killer in Dexter. Top villain.
Also roughly around this time.
Oh.
Early 2000s?
A little later.
Oh, I thought it was like 2006 or...
I mean, this is like 2002.
Oh, you're right.
So it's like a little later.
It's like, the first Fast and the Furious movie.
Okay, you're right.
Sure. Rosenthal was pretty psyched to work with Jamie Lee Curtis again, but enthusiasm wasn't too high. That is until they found their brand-spanking new title that wasn't going to draw the teens into theaters. Halloween Homecoming.
Tom Holland shows up. Mr. Myers? Mr. Myers?
He's got a corsage fucking ready and shit.
That's funny. Mr. Myers.
Oh, Jesus.
Didn't intend for my voice to crack.
That's my Tom Holland impression right there.
Thank you.
Mr. Stark?
I think Alex can just say in her regular voice and it'll be pretty accurate, I would think.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Even the producers felt this title was pretty lame and took a more direct approach. They really wanted people to know Michael Myers was back, so they finally settled on Halloween Resurrection. This was going to be a shit show.
Oh, God.
It wasn't going to release in Easter?
What?
Now, Fuen, I am reading the script here. And the title that you gave me is called Give Me Some Mo.
Give Me Some
Mo. You want a new Halloween movie? Give Me Some Mo. You want to bring back Mike Myers? Give Me Some Mo. You want Jamie Lee Curtis? Give Me Some Mo. You want this shot in 2002 during the internet phase? Give Me Some Mo. Anyways.
Rick Rosenthal in the back.
Fuen, now, you know, thank you for giving me the Busta Rhymes reference right there, because, we appreciate our hip-hop.
We're in the same age group, we understand.
Yeah.
SoCal Latinos.
Yes.
See, if he had given that to me, I would have been like, uh-huh.
Have some more.
Give me some
you
more.
You misspelled gimme.
Okay. I'm not that... bad. Jeez, give me some fucking credit.
Now.
I hang out with you idiots.
All right, let's get back to this. Here we go. Now that they had Jamie Lee Curtis, Rick Rosenthal, and no other returning crew members, they needed... Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I'm Ron Burgundy with the script. I will read exactly
well,
how it's...
Well, you know, it's funny, because Curtis was spelt wrong, and you still said that correctly.
I says Curtis, but, but I still catch it. I'll still catch things.
It's clitoris, yes.
Jamie Lee Clitoris.
Jamie Lee Clitoris.
Oh, my God.
That is her porn star name.
This movie's awesome. Very exciting.
Yes. So, they needed to figure out who else to put on screen, seeing as this was in production during the peak of MTV's TRL period.
Oh, yeah.
And the LL Cool J did a pretty good job last time. Oh, yeah, LL Cool J. I forgot LL Cool J.
Did you say the LL
Cool J?
Did I say the?
You did. I'm like, wow. Just give it a whole title right there,
Phil. LL Cool J. The
one.
LL Cool J.
The LL Cool J.
I need love.
Oh, yes, His Majesty loves that song.
So they figured out the music industry would have someone to save the day. Turns out, market research supported this. Enter Mr. Busta Rhymes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Busta Rhymes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sean Patrick Thomas of Save the Last Dance fame joined the cast and even did a promotional interview for MTV News Busta Rhymes where they discussed their thoughts on joining the franchise.
We're going to talk about it because of the quotes first.
Thomas explained, quote, We join this distinguished history with our project, The Legacy. Busta Rhymes added to this, saying, "The legacy that we have now made a permanent stain in. I am extremely flabbergasted," says Busta Rhymes. End
a
quote.
Permanent stain in. I yeah. never want that described about yeah. anything.
God,
like
that is
influence
that is a freaky
ever.
Quote.
Yeah, yeah.
This was supposed to be promotional.
Permanent stain in. Now, I actually sent Phil this video because I had just discovered. I'm like, Phil, do you remember this shit? Because it was from 2002. And this quote actually was in the online version of it, which doesn't exist anymore.
Aww.
But the YouTube one had one that would be like a bumper for different shows that they would have. So it would be like the last, like whatever minute before TRL and all that shit. But Phil, can you describe like how this bit went?
Oh, man.
Oh, God. So the video that you sent me is Busta Rhymes and Sean Patrick Thomas. They go into a Blockbuster video, right?
Yep. Is it Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
They go into a Blockbuster?
They go into a Blockbuster video.
I'm obsessed.
Video. They walk in there and they do pretty much like movie shopping. They check out all these. They go to different sections, different genres. They go to the crime section. They're looking at The Godfather Part 2. And they're like, yo, this is like, they didn't say cinema because, you know, they were saying, yo, you got to get Godfather Part 2. So they would throw it in the basket. They went movie renting shopping.
Yeah.
And
like promoting Halloween Resurrection.
And of course, they picked out, you know, the 1978 Halloween movie, which I thought we were going to talk about tonight, but I got ambushed.
Ambush. Surprise, motherfucker.
So they picked out. So they were still like promoting the film while like doing like a fun, you know, bit of them going.
I actually am not mad at this bit. I think it's
pretty cool.
Pretty funny.
It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool video. I've never seen it before up until you sent it to me the other day.
And every time they cut to a different video section, they had another 2002 just hip hop song playing in the background.
Yes, yes, that
it's
is
like Pastor Gavassier.
Love that.
That's very, very cool stuff. Yeah,
it was
so,
really fun.
Early 2000s movie promoting was pretty cool.
Oh, dude, MTV. Generation,
yeah,
something
MTV,
else.
Yeah,
they don't do that shit no more.
Yeah, man. Some days really.
They don't make them like they used to.
Speaking of Blockbuster, right now is a good time for Blockbuster to come back after Netflix took that big dive.
Oh yeah,
lost
dude.
Like $20 billion.
I mean, when you
they
up
did?
Your prices and just produce shit content,
yeah.
You just,
now is the time, Blockbuster. If you're listening, now is the time. I'm rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways,
if Blockbuster like made like a huge like resurgent comeback as like a streaming service, people would lose their goddamn.
I would be one of them.
Honestly,
they're still alive.
Yeah.
They're still hanging there. There's probably one
by
more.
A thread.
The Blockbuster color scheme for a streaming service menu, I'm like,
perfect.
I'll take it.
That's
I'm down. Give me the blue and yellow, dude. I would love
that
it.
That would hurt my eyes like a motherfucker.
Perfect. I think it's perfect.
It'll bring me back. I'm like, I'm streaming this, and I'm just going to pretend like I went to an aisle to find it.
Oh, yes.
Okay, what, like, low price item is Blockbuster buying so they can put on their streaming service? What would you watch?
I think it's just going to be all fucking Tommy Wiseau movies. That's it.
If they bought streaming rights for the room and just put it on there? Okay.
Like, oh, yeah. This is the room section
They
got
to have horror, too, because I feel like Blockbuster and horror
scary.
Movies like just go well together.
See, but
especially,
here's the thing.
Especially movies like Scream and
with
stuff.
With the resurgence, well, not the resurgence, but with the creation of Shudder, that makes
Shudder
it difficult.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because,
that's very true.
Like, Shudder... And we are not sponsored by Shudder, but if they want to sponsor us, hit us up.
Yeah, somebody listen, please.
I love Shudder.
Yes.
Shudder's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if you just want something spooky, but you don't know what.
Oh, Shudder TV.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. The Slasher
Channel. That's the first time I watched Hell House.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Shudder TV. They were just like, we think you'd like this. And I'm like, you are correct.
That's dude, cool.
So many Giallo films on there that I'm like, oh,
they
fuck,
have
this is cool.
So many Giallo films.
Yeah, it's really good.
The final girl for this movie was Sarah Moyer, played by actress Bianca Kajlish. Kajlish? Kajlik?
All right, Borat, let's go.
Who was unable to scream, so all her screams had to be dubbed?
What
kind of sacrilegious shit is this?
Yeah, she couldn't scream. They had to dub her screams. She got the part, I guess.
What does that mean?
That's
though?
A red
like,
flag
what
already.
Is, like, what I, like, if I tried to scream right now, like, her voice would just cut out?
I don't know. I don't think she just hit the right note. They're like, fuck, let's get
like
another person.
Like, she just wasn't a good screamer?
Wasn't a good screamer. No.
Damn. That's
probably
crazy.
Always faked it, you know, the whole shebang.
It's already a red flag, right?
You always hate it when they fake it.
Oh.
God. So, now that they got their final girl, they obviously needed a Michael Myers. So they enlisted stunt coordinator Brad Lohr to portray the shape after one of his pros working on the movie got him a meeting with director Rick Rosenthal, who made him walk a couple times and boom, just gave him the job. They literally looked at no one else.
No.
That is god awful.
Rick Rosenthal's like, you seem like the right height, like, what, right weight. Can you just walk? Take like a few paces that way across the room.
Yeah, one's looking at his gait after they see that god awful mask they put him in.
It's like, good enough. Good enough, sir.
Mm-hmm. Still, the Resurrection team almost dropped the ball on this casting, as Lohr talks about here. And quote, I wasn't going to take the job because when they called, she said they were looking for a stunt double for Mike Myers. So I thought they were talking about Austin Powers.
See, I'm so much taller than Mike Myers. Jesus. It'll never work.
Dude, and Austin Powers was the fucking rage back then, man.
Mike Myers meets Michael Myers. That would be a fantastic bit.
I need that for Halloween.
I'm going to say 99.8% sure that bit exists.
So recently, I keep up with Halloween News movies on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Halloween Ends comes out this year. Right?
Yes.
What?
That's happening. So the director said that the way this movie is going to end, the third act is going to be something you'll never expect with a character that you'll never guess. And I got my fingers, my toes, my penis crossed for Mike Myers to make at least a cameo or at least get killed off by Michael Myers. Something. If Mike Myers shows up to Halloween Ends, it's over. Cinema peaked. That's it.
That's it. That's it right there. Call it a day. We only have one person that can handle this fucking guy. Yes. Yeah, baby.
Oh, man. Had it feel annoyed, baby. Yeah.
Dealing with a lot of shapes of my time, baby.
So Lohr left his job at the Fox Kids show Los Luchadores. I remember that show, Los Luchadores.
Huh.
And took form as The Shape. Los Luchadores was canceled 3 episodes after Brad left.
Wow. Yeah. So if your kid was devastated after Los Luchadores.
I remember that show. Yeah. It was on Fox Kids. Yeah.
Blame Michael Myers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they ditched Salt Lake City and let Vancouver stand in for Haddonfield during this outing.
Fucking Vancouver.
Jamie Lee Curtis was only on set for 4 motherfucking days.
I'm surprised it took 4 days to get that.
Yeah, dude.
Which that was like a day.
5 minutes?
Yeah, less than.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. A whole opening scene shot with a Super 8 showing Michael Myers as a kid was cut because it would make the film too interesting. What?
That's not why it was cut. I just threw that in.
Okay, I was like, what?
So hold on a sec. We can't have them like be engaged immediately. Let's just figure this out.
All right, or something about not wanting to humanize the shape. Either way, it's Rick Rosenthal's call.
Well, you know what, Rick? You probably shouldn't have humanized him by making him Laurie Strode's brother.
Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, he is the one that did that.
No, that was Carpenter. That was Carpenter. He just directed that bit. It's fine.
Oh, okay. The rest of the film was shot on a soundstage with a full replica of the original house recreated. Make sure to use quotes when you say replica, Phil. And let me just say that right there. Full replica.
Yeah.
With bunny ears quotes.
I yelled too loud.
Oh. There we go.
I'm getting better, I swear.
You got this. You got this.
I'm recovering.
You got this. At least everyone thought Michael Myers was scary on set. Or at least Tyra Banks did in this PR interview saying, quote, I was hoping that being in a horror movie would make me less scared. But the minute I saw Mike Myers on the set, I couldn't help but get spooked.
Jesus
Christ. It's just that his mask is so lifelike, and yet he's so devoid of emotion. They got me. That was my Tyra Banks
impression. That was good. It was like a weird like Tyra Banks and like Vinnie Barbarino kind of thing. And then I was like, Mr. Myers, I'm going to be a star.
And before we get to the reception, yes, Danielle Harris was almost offered a role for this one, but producers never followed through. Of course they didn't. Don't worry. The carrot dangling is almost over.
That's right. Almost over. We're going to get to talk about Danielle Harris next time.
Herb derb.
So soon.
Yep. Oh, so
The first Halloween movie I haven't seen before this.
Oh, October's going to be interesting.
I've never seen it, ever.
Mm. Mm, okay.
Hmm. Okay. I wonder how you think it's very zombie. Very zombie. Very zombie.
Okay. I like zombie, though, so.
Yeah. Oh, you might like it. I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
You might dig it.
Next time. Anyways, let's back to this train wreck.
Yeah, so. We got to get through this first. God.
Before they could wrap this bitch up, they had to end it. So they actually shot four different endings and almost pulled a clue.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't think they could have done it, but I would have liked to have seen it.
I think it would have been bold.
Yeah. It certainly would have been a choice.
But again, it would have made the movie too interesting, Alex.
Too interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Too interesting. But director Rick Rosenthal wanted to send different theaters alternate prints with one of the four endings.
Fuck you, Rick.
I know. Prompting audiences to see the movie multiple times in order to get a chance to see them all. Like, people would pay for this again, okay?
Oh my god, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They vastly overestimated how many people actually wanted to watch this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it turns out audiences and critics were getting a little sick of the slew of slashes that came from the post-Scream era.
Oh, yeah.
Saw was still a couple years away, so Resurrection filled the same niche of transitional horror that Halloween 6 did less than a decade prior.
Resurrection had to, you know, run so that, or walk, so that way Saw could run.
Yeah, well, yeah. Kind of like Halloween 6 had to do its thing so Scream could something refreshing.
The slashers in the early 2000s, we got Wrong Turn, we got Hatchet, we got House of Wax, the remake. We got Wrong Turn 2, we got Freddy versus Jason, we got Final Destination. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can understand the being burnt out.
You know, you know, the Halloween sequels, you know, they get a lot of shit, you know? But I've been saying this for years. The Halloween sequels is like an alley-oop. They throw the ball so that way another movie catches it and slams it.
That's true.
That's a good way of looking at it.
They're the ones that provide the basketball.
They're like, okay, what can we learn from this?
An alley-oop. Yeah. A little sports reference right there. Sports metaphor by Phil Acevedo.
Real sports guy. So.
Ah, yes, me. So athletic.
Right.
Love sports.
Well, the movie was originally set to release on September 20th, 2001. Mm. yeah. But,
oh, God.
That's what killed her. And that's what killed her.
Oh, God. If COVID didn't kill her, that line right there is going to kill her.
Yeah, yeah. If COVID didn't kill her, it's reflecting on a cataclysmic world-changing event that happened just a week prior that made Alex almost die and push this movie back a couple months.
Okay, I don't want to say that's funny as shit, but everyone who's listening to this podcast knows I love any opportunity to talk about 9/11.
That's true. That's very true. She does. Literally, it was supposed to release 9 days later, and they're like, you know what? Maybe not as much death in theaters. Let's push this back to 2002 sometime.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about that the other day with my friends. We were talking about, like, historical life events that we've lived through, and I was like, yeah, Anthony was a freshman in high school during 9/11. And they're like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I never considered being, like, a high schooler during 9/11. I'm like, yeah.
It was a time.
Yeah, it was an experience.
That shit was nuts.
Yeah, we got
I clearly remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same here.
I was...
That shit was nuts.
Six.
What were we, like, 14?
Yeah,
14. Yeah, like 14, that. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are 8 years older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But, oh, boy.
Yeah, because my friend was visiting with her British boyfriend, and he's younger than her, and he was just like... Yeah, and he's British also, so it's like an extra layer of like, poof.
You're like, oh yeah, I read about that.
He's like, oh yeah, I learned about that in school. And I was like, oh wow, okay.
And I was like, yeah, our teacher told us like, oh fuck, things are going to change forever.
Yeah.
Oh great,
Why? She's like, oh, let me tell you about this whole America shit. You guys
things are going to change forever. Anyway, I'm really glad my like cackling laughter made it into the second you said September 20th, 2001.
Yeah, I knew she would acknowledge that.
Oh, God.
Oh, fun times. Anyway, so Halloween Resurrection ended up releasing on July 12th, 2002, and very purposefully did not screen for critics.
Oof.
Very
Oof.
Purposefully did
That's
not
rough.
Screen for critics. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because on Rotten Tomatoes, Halloween Resurrection has a meager 12% critical consensus.
Deserves less.
Yeah, I agree. Which reads, The only thing this tired slasher flick may resurrect is nostalgia for when the genre was still fresh and scary.
Nice.
That's rough.
The audience score is more than doubled with a whopping 25% rating.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
A quarter of the people thought it was serviceable. So.
Barely. And those are people who are just, like, super, like, even more diehard Halloween fans than freaking Phil is, and is just, like, will defend anything the franchise puts
out.
No offense.
I can't. There's no way defending this one.
No.
It's true. I do have him, like, confirming on text that he's like, I can't even defend this.
No, I can't. Yeah, no. This is unforgivable.
Sometimes we gotta cover a bad movie. It's just how it happens.
This is the crystal skull of Halloween.
Oh, Jesus. You're really not that far. That's a very good analogy. But we'll spare you some of the critical reviews, but just know that this movie made the previous year's Jason X look like a masterpiece, according to a lot of them.
Oof.
Have you guys seen Jason X?
I've seen it, and I actually kind of love it.
Have you watched
Jason
it
Jason X is...
I watched it like 2 years ago.
Okay,
when
dude,
Jason
it's awesome.
It's really
space,
good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
I haven't seen it.
So,
it's fucking
when
good.
I was a kid, I thought it was stupid. This is whack.
I thought it was dumb,
but
too.
But now, as an adult, I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
I'm like, dude,
but, yes.
Put it on again.
Yes.
I'm down.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
so down.
So, fun fact, I did the math. Jason X is going to be the Friday the 13th. We cover the day before I turn 30.
Oh, fucking cool. All right.
Dude.
That's going to be fun.
Did you see that the Fast and the Furious just made Fast and the Furious X?
What?
Yes. So it's called Fast X. So it's either they go to space or the X-Men are in this.
Oh, the Nightcrawler opening scene again.
Yes. With Vin Diesel.
With Vin Diesel.
I think they're going to go to space. I hate
to burst
your bubble.
Did they already go to space? I don't know if I saw it.
I don't know.
No, in the last one, there's like a scene where like Ludacris, right, is in like a car. And
something
it's like something
that.
Where it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I don't know if they actually went to space.
I do know Brie Larson just signed on.
Oh, yeah.
That's
and
true.
Jason Momoa.
And Jason Momoa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This is going to be insane.
It's fun how we're talking about a different movie.
Okay.
Space.
Rated it in.
I think it's space. I actually meant that
genuinely because I'm like, oh great, we do have to somehow get back to this, but I'd really rather talk about Jace Momoa, what the fuck he's gonna do.
Yeah, what the
against
fuck?
Vin Diesel.
Well, it's because they had to bring Jason Momoa in because they had to bring in like another like Hollywood beefcake because The Rock hates Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, very vocally,
very
which is
very
fun.
Vocally hates
very
Vin
true.
Diesel.
So what you're
very
saying
true.
Is we need a movie with The Rock versus Michael Myers.
Ooh.
I think that would be a fantastic take on the franchise right there.
Damn.
Right? Huh?
Michael Myers, I'm gonna take you to the SmackDown Hotel right down the corner of Neuer Road Boulevard.
Sounds like he's gonna fuck him.
I know.
That's his promo right there.
Sounds like he really wants to fuck Michael Myers.
Oh,
gonna take
God.
The old Myers house in front of the millions.
Can we talk about this movie again, please?
Oh,
speaking of something that barely made millions. So.
Oh, yeah.
Halloween Resurrection released on July, of course, 20th. Not 12th, whatever. We already topped the release date. This bitch finished fourth in its opening weekend.
Oof.
Well, it's just over 12 million, which is still not that bad, but it did fall behind Reign of Fire, Road to Perdition, and Men in Black 2.
Two nice. Of those are some of my favorite movies as a child.
Yeah, those movies are good. I remember seeing Road to Perdition with my dad.
Oh, no,
me too!
I'm talking about Reign of Fire and Men in Black 2.
Reign of Fire is sick. Me and my dad saw that one too.
Dude, me and Phil have the same fucking dad.
We do.
We watch the same shit with our dad.
Dude,
Inland Empire, Latino fathers.
Yeah,
yeah
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is like the whitest dude that all Mexican dads love.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Dude, Mexican
really?
Dads love Tom Hanks.
That is very interesting.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I think ever since he boned a fishy Dale Hanna, that's when they're like, he's
dude,
one of my guys.
My dad loves Tom Hanks.
Interesting. Yeah. No, my dad loves fantasy and sci-fi. So naturally, Reign of Fire and Men in Black, he's just like, my child.
There you go.
There you go.
So
see?
Christian Bale, Matthew McConaughey.
Reign of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that shit.
That
even though
awesome.
Ryan Hollinger did a breakdown of Reign of Fire, and I'm like, oh, that movie doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
But doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Yeah,
it's
one of those batshit crazy movies.
Visually, fucking stunning.
Yeah,
for 2002
so
film,
awesome.
Fucking stunning.
Oh, man.
That movie's cool as fuck.
We're really trying hard not to talk about this one, aren't we?
You're the one who put in all these other movies, especially from the early 2000s, where all of us were at such a different points in our lives, and so all
they,
of these movies have such distinct nostalgic like hit points.
That's true.
So
that's
I'll give you one thing. You mentioned Men in Black 2. That introduced us to the one and only Rosario Dawson.
Ooh.
Is that the first movie she's been in?
No.
I don't know.
She was in Kids.
Oh, she was in Kids, but like, general, but not everybody saw Kids.
I was like, wait a second. Yeah. She was in like, yeah. I was like, she was like, in Mallrats.
But like, the general public.
Yeah, exactly. There's there is a very big difference between a Larry Clark movie and Barry Sonnenfeld.
Yeah. And then, you know, Kevin Smith and like, and then suddenly doing,
Big difference.
I loved Men in Black 2. That was another one of my homesick movies.
Oh, man. Nice. Oh, Men in Black. I have opinions.
Johnny Knoxville was in that one.
Oh, shit.
Yes, I Men forgot about that. He was good in that one.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he was.
He was good in that one. Yeah. Oh, shit.
I need to rewatch Men in Black 2.
Yeah, I kind of worry also.
Damn.
All right. Well, so... I was about to say Men in Black 2.
Men in Black 2
made a lot more money than this fucking thing. Halloween Resurrection would finish its run at $37,664,855 worldwide.
Wow.
Did it. In other words, way the fuck less than Halloween H2O and way the fuck more than Jason X.
That's rough.
Oh yeah. Wow. Still, this would be seen as a resounding meh. And ultimately get trounced by Freddy vs. Jason just a year later, which is a much better movie.
Oh, yeah.
Despite Kelly Rowland with her problematic fucking line deliveries. Yeah. So, during a later interview, John Carpenter revealed that he actually saw this movie and absolutely fucking despised it. Saying, quote, "I watched the one in that house with all the cameras. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord God."
Him saying that, dude.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mr. Carpenter, I'm so sorry.
The confirmed boy.
Oh, fucking Brad Moore coming up. He's like, Do you see my performance? I'm gonna be a star. He's like, dude, I don't fucking.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Anyways, the Halloween franchise was about to go on a long, long break.
Oh, yeah.
So, I wonder why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, there's only one section left, so you can either choose who goes or we can play a game to see who gets to say the Letterboxd reviews.
Oh, we're gonna...
Oh, we're gonna do it?
No, he's going to ask a question, and whoever gets the answer is going to read the Letterboxd
reviews. Oh, this is nice. Yes. Yeah, let's do it.
Because there's only one.
Okay,
so. All
right, so what are you doing right now? For those who can't see what you're doing right now.
He's going to ask a question, and whoever gets... And he's pulling from the trivia deck.
Yes, trivia deck. So I will pull from the trivia deck. I'm going to ask one question. Whoever gets it right first gets to read the next section.
All right.
Okay.
Which finalizes the episode. However, if you both get it right, we'll just do another one. Yeah.
I'm so excited right now.
So
let's do this.
Okay.
This is a very easy one, but... No, wait. Okay, this is a hard one.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, did you see the answer?
No. What?
What horror television series was created by Ryan Murphy, who also created the series
American
Glee?
American Horror Story.
Fuck. Webster gets the read.
I'm so sorry. I get so competitive. I'm so
sorry.
I like how she called it. Did you fucking cheat, Phil? By the way, I know the answer.
I did not know the answer at all. I was like, I don't even know.
No, I know.
Name.
Yeah. Okay, I knew exactly what it was before you finished the
movie. I was going to say Twilight Zone.
No, it's American Horror Story.
Don't you disrespect Rod Serling like that. Nah.
Go for it.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah, it's up to go for it.
Okay. So, sure, critical reception in its time wasn't exactly stellar, but what do modern audiences think?
Oh my god, what do they think?
On Letterboxd, Halloween Resurrection has a stunning, a stellar, a beautiful 1.7 rating out of 6,300 reviews. Answering that question pretty much immediately.
What are the worst we probably brought up here, actually?
By far.
No surprise
by
here.
Far. I think the lowest we've ever done is maybe like a 2.5 or a 2.3.
Not like 2.1 or something like that. But like that 1.7 is a pretty substantial drop.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
In the very first review of the popular review section, Cole Bradley bestows this movie a 1.5 out of 5 stars, saying, quote, "Busta Rhymes, Kung Fu kicks Michael Myers out of a window. That's a thing that happens. Fuck this movie."
Hey!
Zara, with 1 star, says in their 1-sentence review, quote, "I can't believe they did Laurie dirty like that. Oh my God." Unquote. That's exactly what I said when we started recording.
Yep.
Laurie, I'm so fucking sorry. Ty is more generous with a middling 2.5 star, saying, quote, This is the Michael Myers special of MTV Cribs.
That's funny.
With like the Cribs like flash cuts and like the zooms and all that shit. That'd be perfect.
The transitions.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
Naughty, a.k.a. Julie Norwood, loves this one, giving it a 3.5 stars, still not very impressive, saying, quote, highly underrated. The opening provided a shocking revelation, and before we transition to Busta Rhymes territory, it took us out with unexpected KO. The rest of the film is a live reality show gone horribly wrong. Toss a bunch of teens with video cameras in Michael Myers' childhood home, and pray tell could go wrong. Cheesy good fun, unquote.
All right, lady. Nah.
No, you were on massive amounts of drugs when you wrote that or saw the movie. And finally, Fake Shrimp awards the film no stars, saying, quote, watch the commentary because I want an explanation as to why it's shit, but they genuinely sound happy with this movie, and by the end, they're teasing coming back for another sequel. Thank fuck that didn't happen. Not sorry. Peace sign.
Yep.
Out.
Out.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
He's probably one of like four people that watch commentary also. That's good. It's good we know.
Right. So before Halloween Resurrection was released, the plan was to do a follow-up that starred a returning Josh Hartnett, and he would make a trip to Haddonfield to avenge his mother's death and be accompanied by Lee Brackett, who sought to avenge her sister Annie from the 1978 film. Busta Rhymes was going to get killed in the first 5 minutes of the movie, and Michael Myers was going to supposedly drown in a frozen lake in a stare down with Josh Hartnett. But alas, Halloween 9, Retribution, was not to be.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Siri Shepherd and number one Michael Myers fan Mustafa Akkad was killed along with his daughter Rima Alakkad Molna in the 2005 Amman bombings. Oh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the history of the franchise, Akkad also made a few more personal films which attempted to bridge the gap between the Western and Muslim worlds, The Messenger and The Lion of the Desert.
That's right. Halloween financed those passion projects.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A school in his native city of Aleppo was named after him, as well as a street in Beirut. Halloween 2007 and Halloween 2018 were dedicated to him. So pour one out for Mustafa.
Yeah, you know what?
Right. Fucking shepherd right there. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers, Mr. Akkad.
Absolutely. Even though this movie is absolutely dog shit, we must respect.
Yes, of course. The dude was, you know.
The OG from the beginning.
He gave Carpenter the chance in his career, so yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It would never have happened if it wasn't for him.
Definitely. Yeah. So, Malek Akkad would honor his father's legacy and take over producing duties.
That's right.
The franchise was going through some major changes as horror dived deeper into the Saw era, but the controversial Rob Zombie reboot, that is 2007's Halloween, will have to wait until Halloween 2022.
That's right.
For now, we're stuck with and have to talk more about Busta Rhymes.
Boy.
And that's how this movie came to be, guys.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And you know what? We had so much fun with that.
I know. Man, that's the important thing.
Only took us an hour, guys.
Oh.
And there's so much to cut out. Thanks, Anthony.
How about we talk about...
God, tie it in, please.
The lovely early digital... I don't know. Film. No. What do you guys...
Don't call this a film.
Don't call this a film. This is a fucking movie.
This is a capital... This is a lowercase m movie.
This is a slab of content.
there you go.
What do you guys think about Halloween Resurrection?
Oh, man.
Thoughts.
I mean, it's... Yeah, there's no way. There's nothing good about this. It's a piece of shit.
Thanks. Succinct.
Succinct. Yeah, that was good.
That was, I think, the most succinct sentence that's ever come out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Damn it. Destroyed her with that one, eh?
I watched this in the beginning. I watched this.
God created. What are we
in the beginning, God.
The first resurrection.
On All Hallows Eve.
I meant to say, I wanted to watch this on Tuesday when I thought my cough was just allergies.
Oh, yes. And I was reassuring Alex, like, it's probably nothing.
Yeah, everyone was. Every fucking person I talked to.
Nobody gets COVID anymore.
Nobody gets COVID
Every
anymore.
Fucking person.
We're going to have a little bit of this while we're discussing. Just
right. Every person I spoke to, when I was just like, it was super windy that day. I was like, I slept with my window open. I was like, wow, this is really like, this is an annoying cough. I wonder what's going on. And then the next day I woke up and I was like, I have fucking COVID. There's no way I don't have fucking COVID.
So you're saying Halloween Resurrection gave you COVID?
Yeah, I think so. That's what happened. Yeah, I think Busta Rhymes personally came into my house and like breathed COVID onto me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As directed by Rick Rosenthal.
That's true. Is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And I know I was getting sick because my Wingstop wasn't as appealing as it normally is.
Oh no!
Like I fucking love Wingstop.
I love Wingstop too.
I fucking love Wingstop.
Wingstop is great.
I order it all the goddamn time. And so I was like eating my Wingstop and I'm like, this isn't like, am I getting burnt out on Wingstop? Which hasn't happened, by the way. It is yet to happen to me.
No. I've known about Wingstop since I was like 16. Every time I'm like, I'm losing it right now. It's amazing.
This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just like, this isn't really hitting the way it normally does. And then I went to sleep and I woke up and I was like, I'm dying.
Oh,
God himself has come down and been like, you flew too close to the sun, you stupid bitch.
Oh, look at you. Is the concert fun, huh? Was it fun?
It was fucking fun. Getting drunk in public by yourself in the safety of a concert was delightful.
So I know. It's been a little bit.
So I've never done it. I have never done it in my entire life. It was so much fun. I loved it. Being drunk in an Uber by myself, just being like, this is delightful. And while I was there, you were texting me about Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Yes.
And the shout out that we got.
We got a shout out from the star of Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Mr. Mark Patton.
Nice.
Thank you so much for acknowledging us and posting about us and putting us out there and letting people know more about our episode. Brought our numbers up really good this month.
It was amazing. So,
awesome.
So thank you. Yeah.
That's
I was
so
plastered
cool.
in an Uber, just like, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm
gushing to Alex, like, dude, the guy.
Yeah. And I was just like, just trying to enjoy my concert.
I was like, what, did you share a story? I'm like, he put a whole fucking post about us.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
And then, of course, that was Saturday, and then by Tuesday, I was down.
And then Alex was like, I can die now.
Yeah, I was like, well, that's it.
I was acknowledged by Mark
Patton.
I can go. This is
I was acknowledged by Mark Patton.
That is so cool. That's so cool. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the movie's dog shit.
Yes,
I hated
clearly.
I hated it when I was 14, and I hate it now when I'm 34. 20 years later, I still hate this fucking movie.
Yeah, this July, it's 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is Halloween H2O Resurrection. I had to throw one finger in there.
Can I kick you out of my apartment?
I had to throw in one
finger. How did he make the subtitle worse than the proposed subtitles while using existing subtitles?
I don't know.
He used existing subtitles to make the original planned ones worse. That's a feat.
Again,
that's more clever than any lie in this movie.
HalloweenMichaelMyers.com is really fucking funny.
Halloween, internet, early 2000s, Busta Rhymes. Dude, there's a part in the fucking movie, I remember watching this and it pissed me off as a 14-year-old, it pisses me off now because I recently watched it for research because it's been a long time since I've seen this one. Mm-hmm. And there's a part where Michael Myers tosses fucking Busta Rhymes into a wall. He finds like a generator or something, like an open cable, takes the cable, sticks it in Myers' nuts, and you can hear Michael Myers groaning. And it's like the worst groan ever. It goes, dude, it's like in slow motion, and it sounds horrible. I'm like, did Michael Myers just cry?
Wait.
Like, a little bitch? Like, worst Myers ever.
Dude, we have a question about the mask. Can we talk about
We can talk about the mask.
What a fucking awful mask,
dude.
The
worst mask ever.
The worst mask.
You don't like drag show Myers? You don't like drag show? Dude,
I don't.
On RuPaul's Drag Race, just with this in a dress, and he's good.
I'm not a fan.
It's just as bad as a CGI mask in H2O.
Like the whole time, though. Like the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
And what sucks is, like, as a concept, this isn't a bad concept.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, but also way too ahead of its time in one way. In just the way.
I understand that. But, like, I don't want to, like, defend this movie at all, because I understand that will get me, like, beat up in the streets. I get that.
Mm-hmm. Or in this apartment right now.
Yeah, no, it didn't... Oh, God.
Oh, no, I just had to finish coughing up a lung.
Oh, yeah.
But, I think that if this movie had been done well and had good writing and good directing, sorry, Rick Rosenthal, but you were not the one for this movie. There was a lot of ways that this movie could have redeemed itself, and it unfortunately... Every chance it got, it was like, how can we fuck this up?
Oh, it fumbled every time.
It fumbled every fucking ball it got.
Botch after botch.
Real quick, though, the most simple way, I think, that they could have at least made it marginally better, more, like, just a little bit. Just put the Lori death at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Have Myers go back home, kill those fucking teens, do what he needs to do, get the fuck out of there, no Busta Rhymes, whatever, and just finish that arc at the end. Bam.
Oh my God, that monologue.
Way better.
That monologue by Busta Rhymes where it's just like, I made a mistake by thinking we could make cheap entertainment out of murder.
Jesus.
Or whatever the fuck he said.
God.
Oh, good old boomer rhetoric there.
It doesn't even, dude, it's not even like, it doesn't even look good. It looks like a fucking Goosebumps episode. Right?
That's a good analogy. I like that.
The way it looks, the way it's shot, it just looks like a made for TV.
I feel like that's
thing,
a disservice
dude.
To Goosebumps episodes.
Oh, yeah, no disrespect to Goosebumps episode, but that's how, like, scaled down. And, like, this is a cinematic franchise.
This is a $15 million movie.
Yeah, and it looks like it was shot for made for TV, like a Goosebumps, especially in the hospital scene. Mm-hmm. That shit all looks like it's like an episode of Goosebumps.
No,
it's
TV framing.
Bad. Yeah, it does.
Like
it looks like it was TV. Like
it absolutely is TV framing.
Well, because whenever I watch movies, like weirdly, the first Avengers film suffers from this because Joss Whedon definitely came from TV. You can tell, but. Like, when it comes to actually...
I just rewatched Avengers, too.
I think it's a great movie.
Yeah.
But
we were just talking about that.
We were just talking about it.
But I also realize every time I've seen it, I'm just like, fuck, dude, Joss Whedon is like, he lives in close-ups.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in close-ups. He lives in quick cuts.
I mean, did you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Well, yeah, of course,
Well, I wasn't sure if you'd, like, actually watched the whole thing, but, like, it is, like... 90% close up, or like Firefly.
Yeah, but like you know, just those shot reverse shot. Like it's very basic in a lot of ways. And this movie is shot basic as fuck. There's no cinematic language that Michael Myers, even in the worst sequels, is known to look good at least.
Yeah,
like even the worst, there's some element to
it. There's nothing. I absolutely agree. You nailed it. There's nothing menacing about this Michael Myers. I'm just like. You're boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like...
Stockmeyers.
Yeah.
Stockmeyers.
Dude, I'm just like, my 3-year-old niece could kick your ass, you know?
Yeah. Usually, when I refer to Michael Myers, I like to throw in Daddy.
I was going
to
say, Daddy Myers?
Yeah, dude. This is... No, there is no Daddy.
No, he's a bitch in this.
Yeah, there's no Daddy Myers in this. No.
Honestly...
There's no
borderline incel Myers.
Yeah.
No balls.
Yeah. Worst Myers, for sure. A lot of people like to give shit, like a lot of newbies out there like to talk shit on Season of the Witch, and they say that's the worst Halloween movie ever.
Mm-mm.
I'm like, and I always be like, buddy, have you seen Resurrection? Like that's how bad this one is.
Yeah.
You know? And
Halloween movie. I'm sorry, I keep cutting off.
No. And Season of the Witch is it's got their own cult following. Resurrection, who the fuck likes this movie?
It's,
like
in decades, it's never been able to garner a poll.
Yes.
Hold on Letterboxd, were there any 5-star reviews? I'm sure there were.
They're probably
maybe
trolling?
I couldn't find them in the first couple pages at all.
That's fine.
It probably would have been a while before I could. If you can find them, for sure, because that'd be good to know that people actually care about this movie that much. I really don't think they're there.
I doubt it.
I don't think they're there.
Halloween Resurrection Letterboxd. Let's take a look. All
right.
But while I'm doing that, I did also want to say every single time we talk about Halloween, we do have to mention that. We like Season of the Witch, and I'm very sorry that our podcast slandered it when we covered it when we were little fucking edgelords about it.
To be fair, I slandered it.
I defended it.
I don't think I've heard this episode.
No, because she defended it because I was still kind of whatever in my fucking like, oh my God, like, you know, whatever, it's fine. And then I watched it again after that, like a year later. I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? This is actually kind of brilliant.
It's so good.
It's really good. I actually really love Season
of the Witch. Try watching that movie and not have the theme song stuck in your head.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. Actually, we opened with the theme song in the episode.
Nice. I didn't listen to this episode. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, Halloween.
I have not heard
this. Don't listen to it because the takes are bad now.
Well, I'm sure that. How many years ago was this?
It was our second season.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are 5-star reviews.
Okay. Give us one. Give us one good one.
I would like to.
One good one. I have to know what these fucking people think.
Was Jim Gomez one of them?
Oh, would be such a fucking Jim take, dude. You know, they put like Jason Momoa in one of
the movies. No, no, it's not that bad. No, you know, the
what the fuck?
What do they say? What do they say?
From January 14th, 2022.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
Recent.
This is the best horror movie ever made. Astounding sequel. And I wish they made a sequel like this one in the future.
No.
That has to be a troll.
That's gotta has be a, to be that's a troll. Gotta be a, that's gotta be a troll.
Has to be a troll, but that's oddly, kind of links to our next question here.
Well, there's another one. Sorry.
Give us more. Give us one more.
One more.
Give me some more.
5-star.
Give me some more.
Give me some more.
Give me some more.
Well, funny, related. Busta Rhymes doing Kung Fu on Michael Myers takes this from a 0 to a 5. This is a great bad movie. That's bad.
I mean, dude, honestly, looking back, that's probably my favorite part of the whole movie.
It's the most Busta memorable.
Busta Rhymes doing the stupid kung fu.
Busta Rhymes, best character ever conceptualized.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what? Actually, this is how the movie works. Mm-hmm. It gives you the Laurie Strode at the beginning. It sets up the concept, and I forget about the rest of the movie when he starts killing people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, this is totally forgettable at this point.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to the end. There's a whole block of, like, half an hour where I'm like, eh.
Most of this is people actually really liking Busta Rhymes' character. Busta's, so you want to be on Dangertainment, is the most cheer-worthy line of the whole franchise. I started doing kicks in the air like I was in the pit.
Oh, God.
Dude, all right, one thing about Busta Rhymes is you can tell he was having a fun time.
Oh, he was giving 100.
He was 100. You could tell he was having a great time on set.
100,
like,
dude.
He was like, he probably did not know that this movie was going to be universally hated. Apparently, it's not universally hated. But
some people actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
Out of a 1.7 rating, you're finding a handful of fives here.
But, I think people like this movie. Some people enjoy this movie for what it is. And then from there, giving it a 5, which I think is a disservice to the movie and to themselves, is just like trying to be critical.
Yeah.
But
to me, this is just not one of those movies where it's like, yeah, you hated it when you were young, but it's cool now as an adult. No, it still sucks. Mm-hmm. It just did not age well. It just did not, nothing lands. Nothing lands. Like, you know, you can watch Halloween 4 or 5, and you're like, yeah, you know, it was cool in the 80s, but now they're really fucking fun now. Busta Rhymes, he probably did not know that this movie was going to get a lot of hate for it with the critics and stuff, but
yeah.
He was just like, yo, man, I'm on a fucking Halloween movie, man.
I'm trying to make a stain on this legacy.
Yeah. He was just like, dude, they got me on this fucking... Like, he knows like that the franchise is big in the horror community and then film community, you know?
Because of the contemporary kind of implications of this movie, this bitch came out in 2002. At the cusp, obviously, of the digital age. Mm-hmm. It made a lot of predictions that weren't exactly standard at the time. So how do you feel about this film's take on the internet culture? And what changes would need to be made to make it more modern if it was actually released today?
Oh, holy shit, the reverse catfish!
Wait, what?
Oh. The reverse catfish in the movie. Can we talk about that?
Go for
it. High school, like this freshman in high school is like talking.
Oh, yeah.
The characters in this movie, the guy.
The high school
kid?
Do you
remember this?
The one that had the high school party?
Freshman in high school who is pretending to be a college-aged man flirting and having a quote-unquote online relationship with someone well into adulthood.
That's right.
It is. I was watching this. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching?
He was the one that was dressed as John Travolta, right?
Yes. Well, glad they avoid the blackface on that one.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Busta Rhymes would have been like,
bro, that's not
good. I was like, I'm gonna break somebody's neck right now.
I was like, what in the fuck? Because that went completely over my head the first time I watched it.
Oh, by the way, one of the endings was him actually seeing her and saving her in person and having a makeout scene to end the movie.
Oh, God.
Are you fucking
Mr. 15-year-old online
15-year-old sleeping with... Oh, my fucking God.
Licorice pizza. 2002.
Licorice pizza.
Oh, Jesus.
That was funny.
That destroyed Alex again.
Yeah, have you seen Licorice Pizza? Yeah.
No, I haven't, but I heard that's one of the main criticisms of that movie.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's a main point of the movie. Yeah. It's definitely a criticism people have.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say the racism, but...
All right, well, my favorite director. Sorry.
You know what? I know he's your favorite director. I still... Those two big issues aside...
I know.
I still thought it was cute.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. I'll see it eventually.
Someone is going to get mad at me for, but I stand by it.
All right.
just aging Cooper Hoffman up 3 years. Just pretending he's 18.
We'll
move on.
Again, we keep trying to talk about other movies while talking
because
about
this
movie.
I would rather talk about Licorice.
I love that.
I'm having a better time talking about other movies than Halloween Resurrection.
This is great.
This is good content.
It's good content.
So, anyway, answering the question that you actually asked, because I just that question reminded me about like the internet story.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
first, this movie has to be like 30 seconds long. This is TikTok age. This is only going to last. Yeah. This is going to be bits.
Could you, I mean, that's, okay, this is going to make you guys, like, this is going to, like, take a couple years off of your guys' life right
now.
Uh-huh,
okay.
They're making, like, a horror movie, like, based on, like, TikTok stars and, like, through TikToks and, like.
Oh, God.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean.
Is it going to be shot vertically?
I think so. I've heard inklings of it. But, like, they tried doing this with YouTube. They tried doing YouTube horror movies.
Oh.
And those failed because also mainly the demographic on TikTok are people who are going to be too young to go see the movie.
Yeah.
It's got to organically come up on the fucking feed anyway.
So like coming of age technology usually hasn't been working too well with movies, specifically horror films.
Yeah.
Like it's like if you were to do a Halloween Resurrection now, where the internet is such a fucking natural part of our being now these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2002, the internet was still, you know, being accessible to
it was still
homes.
Worming its way into every household. Like,
if
in 2002, I think that was the year, and my dad worked in IT.
Yeah.
Just finally, like, we had, like, a computer, you know? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Dial-up, well, most people had
dial-up.
I still had dial-up.
Yeah,
dial-up
so did we. So, like, if you were to do a Halloween Resurrection now, it would still be kind of tricky. Because we have Halloween 2018 and stuff like that. We already have those, you know, imprinted into our brains already. So it was like, if you want to introduce a Halloween movie where the internet plays a crucial part of it, that's still kind of tricky.
It would be a 6-hour stream.
I mean...
It would be a 6-hour stream.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That gets uploaded on YouTube later.
I think the time for an internet horror film has, like, kind of come and gone. We saw it... I mean, the only...
Unfriended.
The exception I will make is Host that came out last year.
I still haven't seen it.
I loved Host.
I gotta watch it. I should watch it today.
It was really good. It was like a quarantine-esque Zoom call.
I've seen the Bong Joon-ho Host, but that one's called The Host.
That's The Host, and that was also really good. Completely different.
Oh, yeah. Completely different movie. Yeah.
But I really like The Host, too.
Yeah.
But no, The Host, it's on Shudder.
Okay.
Nice.
Very enjoyable. It actually freaked me out. Like, I really liked it. But I also am a notable slut for found footage.
So that was going to be my point. I was like, if you were going to do a Halloween Resurrection now, it would have to be found footage.
Yeah.
It would have to be shot through the point of view of a camera, maybe like where Myers is there. No cinematic shots whatsoever.
No.
It's got to be strictly POV, strictly found footage. Maybe you can have some live stream camera set like in a corner of something just to get more different angles.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to play around with found footage mixed with a slasher like Michael Myers, it might still work. And 2002 would have been the time to do it because Blair Witch Project had already come out. You know, this was before quarantine. This was before Rec.
Could have been innovative, actually.
Paranormal Activity, all that stuff. So, like, but Blair Witch already was there.
Yeah.
if I was going to do that, I was like, dude, scrap the whole story with fucking the Decker dude that was like a hacker or whatever.
It was so stupid.
Assisting everybody's like texting or phone, like, duck or run away. He's coming up the stairs.
Okay, you bring up a great point, and like, I know we have to move on.
Yeah.
But like when he's like texting her and like it's like live appearing on her phone where it's just like he is in the backyard or whatever, and it's just like, I'm like, oh my god, this
like,
is
like, how are you
your
doing that?
Rudimentary understanding of how texting even worked. I'm like, who was your who consulted
and
on
also
this?
How is that even possible? Like, how
it's
is
not
your,
it's phone fucking
going into her text messages, like
it's not possible. And they're consulting for
now.
This
I know. It's a fantastical version of the internet they had back in the day.
Yeah, this... Oh, my God. It is a fantastical version of the internet.
They didn't get it.
Exactly
they didn't know
it.
Yet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, something you guys might enjoy, online on YouTube right now, which was part of my research for this episode because it has a lot of behind-the-scenes footage, they actually have a version of the movie on YouTube that's all from the footage gathered by the cast.
I would have liked
that
together. More.
It's fucking boring.
Really?
Because you realize how much of the movie was kind of like anchored around well, this is happening off like somewhere else. So when they, because it's less than an hour when they do that. It's like a 49-minute movie. And
that's
rough. You're just getting the people. But it's totally on YYouTube. You can totally find it.
Okay.
And it's
out
there.
You know how, like, Halloween 2018 had the podcasters that investigate crime stories?
Yeah.
Maybe those guys could have come out and this fantastical Halloween Resurrection movie that we're clearly rewriting right now as we speak. So, like, maybe those guys could be, like, the centerfold of the entire fucking movie. And
we go to the Myers house, Anthony.
There you go. You guys should do this.
We do it.
Make your own. Get somebody big and, you know, big that can walk. Put a Michael Myers mask on Enrique. Have him be fucking Michael Myers. I'll be the comedic goofball who gets killed in the middle of the movie. I can be the Randy of the fucking movie who lives but dies in the sequel. Dude, let's do Halloween Resurrection. The Horrible People's
How
Podcast.
It should have been done.
Yes. Edition.
You actually, that actually took my fun question. Because my fun question was, we do a live stream and people start getting killed, but our numbers are fucking amazing.
Oh, God.
How is this stream organized beforehand?
Oh,
where is it? Where's it streaming? What platform wise? And then when do you pull the plug and run for safety?
Okay, so that didn't take away the entirety of the question.
Yeah.
But I do think if we do like a fake Halloween, like Enrique, it plays Michael Myers, and then we kind of like play the part as like, we're investigating the Myers house or whatever. I think that that's when our numbers are amazing. The stream's organized on, I'm going to say, Instagram Live and Twitch.
And Twitch for sure.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, the Shut the Fill Up channel is what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
And then at one point, we pull the plug and run for safety. Once Phil gets killed brutally.
Because he's hosting the stream, that's right. We can't actually...
We
don't have the login.
Once he actually dies.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, oh shit. And then we have to run. But then we find safety in the... If anyone who actually has been to the Myers house, there's a very cool pub across the street from the Myers house.
That's right.
We find safety in the pub.
Griffins of Kinsdale. Griffins of Kinsdale. Great pub.
We find safety in the pub.
That is so cool.
And we all three went there too.
Damn,
with Savannah.
Yes.
That's how Halloween Resurrection should have happened. We need to make this happen.
And
I got sound equipment. I have a Twitch channel. Let's make this happen.
There we go. There we go. Put Reeks in the fucking thing.
We got
Reeks. He's imposingly tall,
Reeks
so it
would make
makes sense.
A great Michael Danny
wear,
Myers.
He'd wear a jumpsuit with a, with a Michael Myers.
Grow his hair
he, would
a little bit.
He would make a great Michael Danny Myers.
Or keep
Myers,
it short, you know?
And he would probably kick my ass for calling him daddy. But I will.
No, I think he would just pretend to like it just to make you uncomfortable.
You're like, penetrate me, daddy. With the knife, with the knife.
You'd be like, okay, I'll bend you right now.
There you go.
I'll bend you over right here.
There you go.
Now, I think also, though, to get the numbers really good, let's say we remove ourselves from the equation.
Okay.
I think to play up in the modern sensibilities of outrage culture and all the bullshit that comes with all
this. Where are you going with this?
What we do is we put five of the most annoying and despicable alt-right trolls and five of the most just exhausting SJW motherfuckers.
I was going to say exhausting.
Five from each
side. Five from each side, slap them in the house, put it in Old Myers' house, and then not let them know that they're going to get capped. But I want it live stream.
Keep Michael Myers as Reeks, because I think he would kill both of them.
He would kill both.
But since we're live streaming, the threads and the chats happening of just people from different sides wanting the other ones to go out would be perfect. And then we blue ball everyone.
It's evil and genius, and I kind of love it.
Right?
We only pull
the safety when there's one from each side remaining, and then just blue ball everyone, because there's no one can win.
No one can win.
We keep it that way, and then we let the commentary go, and then reveal the ending later on in some fucking podcast shit that people are talking. Did you hear like the H3 shit? Then we got to do that. So yes, we really got to play up the both sides
really
thing
just,
going.
Get a bunch of the really annoying like blue no matter who motherfuckers.
On the right, I want Tommy Loren. What's her name? Tommy Loren.
Have her get taken out first.
On the right. On the left, I would like. I'm reading. Who's the biggest SJW right now?
Dude, give me AOC in that fucking thing.
Yeah, AOC. Yeah, let's throw her in there. Okay,
I'm not gonna lie. I think AOC's kind of hot. So I'm
totally. She is fully hot. Yeah. There's no denying it.
No, she's
And
she's also kind of annoying.
Yeah, she is, man. That dress, I will never forget.
I'll take that, though. I don't care. I've dealt with more
Fucked more annoying people before.
All
right, it's fine.
All right, now let's go even more extreme. On the right, I'm going to go Alex Jones.
Okay.
On the left, who's like the biggest...
It would be Bernie Sanders.
No. Someone who's like the equal, like, opposite, like, that could be...
Hassan Piker.
Oh, give me Hassan. Hassan and Alex Jones? With Tommy Loren and AOC? That'd be great. And then just three of their buds.
Yeah.
Three of their buds.
Dude, that's crazy.
Because you know at the same time all this is happening, Alex Jones is going to be fucking hawking like fucking like man spray. Like as he's doing the thing, it's like, dude, you don't have to hawk him right now.
It's fine.
You're not running the stream.
My tactical flashlight.
I'll look at some more right now.
I think that's good.
Oh, wait. Right. We need to have Ben Shapiro in so he can die immediately.
Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, okay. Get him and Tommy Loren at the same time, but keep Jones
in. Ben Shapiro, modern Stephen Colbert?
No, he's too corporate now.
He's corporate. He's pretty, like, some stuff is, like, pretty, like, annoyingly liberal, but some stuff he's also kind of middle of the road on.
Give me Kyle Kulinski. I love him, but I think he'd be funny in this scenario because he's, I don't know, he wouldn't do good in a horror movie. He's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, Elon Musk, but we need somebody like a comedic person on the left. Seth Rogen. He's on his way to getting there.
He's hyper lefty right now.
He's getting there. He's literally adding Ted Cruz and fighting with him on the internet.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god. You know who? Alan Tudyk.
Oh, he's a hyper lefty too.
He's super hyper left. I had to unfollow him on Twitter. I'm like, oh my god, I can't do this.
Don't you hear that happens?
Like, there's some people like I'm like I like Twitter was a mistake for following celebrities. Yeah. Like following certain celebrities, I'm like, you're embarrassing.
When I say modern Colbert, and it breaks my heart to say modern Colbert because I used to be a big Colbert.
Oh, big time. I was a Colbert stan for the longest.
Books. Every time I would read his books, I was a big Colbert Report fan.
The Ben & Jerry's ice cream is still amazing.
Dude.
American Dream is fucking
I
my
remember
shit.
Watching the final episode of the Colbert Report, and I was
and
like, I'm kind of tearing up right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. That was like 10 years ago, something like that, in the final episode.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely more mainstream now. But I enjoy some of his stuff.
Yeah, I still tune in to the...
Seth Meyers.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, too, man.
The only one doing it good, honestly, Trevor Noah.
Trevor
Noah
kind of
kills.
Okay, Trevor Noah.
He's smart.
There's some moments where I'm.
Yeah.
This is so. We are so off track.
We're
right
so
now.
Off track right
we
now.
Need,
true.
We need to talk. Yeah. We need to stop. But like Trevor Noah, like
this part
there's
may
some
not make
stuff.
It to the episode.
I know. There's so. I know. Poor Anthony has editing this one too.
Oh no! I think this is great because in the end of the day, most of these people are dying.
They're gonna get whacked by Enrique Myers.
Because I already know Tommy Loren, Ben Shapiro, they're all dead. Stephen Crowder, like, I'd rather them die early, but
I still stand by Hassan Piker for that. But
I think he'd be the one of the final girls at the end, for sure.
He would love it too.
Oh, yeah,
he'd
be like
such a fucking camera whore. I'm gonna get so much shit for that, but whatever. But Trevor Noah, like, there are some things where it's like, when my, like, and this is like, there's some stuff that he says where I'm just like,
I feel like he's trying to please a lot of people.
He's trying to keep a lot of people happy.
And that's the thing.
Which is when you take over the Daily Show from our Lord and God Jon Stewart.
That's
a big fucking shoes to fill.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I got into I became politically aware right as the Colbert Report and Jon Stewart left the Daily Show around that time, and it was
man, you missed that. You missed the boat.
I missed
that. That was such a good boat.
They were really good innovators. Second, I started watching them regularly, and then I was into it for a year maybe, and then they were we're gone, and I was just I just found you guys.
Yeah. Oh no, you had transitional Trevor Noah too, because he wasn't good for 3 years.
Yeah.
It took 3 years before I was
pandemic I buy this is guy. When he started shining.
I agree.
Yeah, I follow the Daily Show on Twitter, and so they haven't made me unfollow them yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Also, Alan's underrated star Jordan Klepper.
Mm-hmm.
Underrated as fuck.
My recent gripe with Trevor Noah, and film Twitter can really also went in on Trevor Noah, is what he said about the Oscars. It wasn't about the Will Smith or Chris Rock thing. He was talking about the movies themselves. He's like, these are boring fucking movies. Blah, 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 blah. And then so film Twitter went in on Twitter.
Think that was him just trying to get a rise.
Yeah, and he got it from film Twitter for sure. Everyone was like, dude, did you see Drive My Car? Did you see? I was what do you mean these movies are boring?
To be fair, Drive My Car is 3 hours.
But so is Endgame.
I'm not arguing that, but also it's a commitment.
Yeah.
And I get it. A lot of movies are, and I want to see Drive My Car. I'm very excited to see it.
It's beautiful.
But also asking me to dedicate 3 hours to a movie that I have any context for.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when it comes to content,
but now, okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay. I know where it's going to go. Cause I have some thoughts.
Okay. So you're telling me that for a 3 hour movie, see, The Godfather was a 3 hour movie.
Haven't seen it.
Society has no problem watching.
Haven't seen it.
It's like a 2.5 hour movie.
Now you're keeping it personal within yourself.
No, that's why I'm saying for me.
I'm not gonna say.
But the
Trevor Noah thing is saying that he had a societal issue that these movies were boring. And he's like, dude, did you see The Power of the Dog? Did you see any of these fucking movies? They're incredible original stories. And film Twitter is sorry, it's not, Avengers Endgame where you have to watch all these fucking movies. And no problem, no trouble doing Marvel here, but I'm just saying, dude, if we can watch original movies like society did with The Godfather, which was an original movie, it's also 3 hours, actually more than 3 hours long, it's like society has no issue watching these. That's what Trevor Noah was like. These are grandpa and grandma movies. There was a quote he said about these movies.
Okay, yeah, I'm just stirring the pot. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I also get the point that he was trying to make mark.
Mm-hmm.
But this is so we can't.
No, keep going. Keep going. It's good.
I know this has to cut off the episode
we
for sure.
Real quick though, on this point, because I feel like you guys are making good points to the commitment aspect of it. Because you're right, this 3 hours, even the Batman. Because I finally saw it.
Oh, you saw it!
I finally saw it!
You saw the Batman!
But I had to pause halfway through at 90-minute mark.
Yeah.
Because I was fuck, I'm loving where this is going, but this is exhausting.
I've seen the goddamn movie 5 times, and I think I know what you're talking about. Did it need to be 3 hours long? No.
It needed to be 2.5 hours long.
I love, as much as I fucking love this movie, I have no problem watching 3 hours of it. Dude, There Will Be Blood is one of my favorite movies of all fucking time.
Yeah, great movie. Long movie, yeah.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also 3 hours long.
Yes.
I have no problem. But at the 90-minute mark, I got to push pause to go take a piss.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not need it to be
3 hours
long.
It is a hefty time frame to watch a movie, right?
Yeah.
But, that's still, I stopped discouraging people from watching movies because of a time frame, but I always say, don't let the time frame discourage you or intimidate anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch the movie if you have an interest in it.
I also watched Dune. I also watched Nightmare Alley. Those are also two and a half hour
Nightmare Alley was, that one was
was a slobber knocker
20 minutes too long. Also.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say that these movies are, some of them are too long. I will say that straight up. But, so I understand also what Trevor Noah might have been trying to say, where a lot of the movies that might have been nominated this year for an Oscar were a tad bit long.
Or a tad bit overzealous in their execution, I would say.
Yeah.
That might be it. A little bit like, you need all the content.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a clean 90 minutes unless your name is Halloween Resurrection.
And we go back.
I could talk about this forever, but no, yes. I agree with you.
Yes. Yeah, dude, no, this cannot be part of the episode.
No, this is totally part of the episode.
We went full off rails.
Only because
off the rails.
Only because these
Bring
questions are, we already talked about most of this shit anyways. We really did.
We are at an hour and 45 minutes.
Yes.
Bring us home.
We've already talked about all these anyways. Ooh. All I want to know is because none of these kills are substantial, I'm not going to even ask Kill the Film.
I don't remember any of them.
None of them are good.
The time between me seeing this movie and now, I had COVID. I've completely erased a lot of this.
There were two stabs and the guy stood in the middle. That was it.
Oh, there was a decapitation. That's right.
I just remember.
Yeah. They cut the girl's heads off and the girl rolled the head rolled
down. Yeah,
that was the first decapitation
Michael
in Michael Myers.
Getting decap or get not get not not I'm getting decapitated, but Michael Myers getting kung fu punched by Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, so Roundhouse Kick of the Film, mm-hmm. that was the one part that actually does it. But I just want to know, based on that, what would you rate Halloween Resurrection out of 5 supposed Roundhouse Kicks to the shape?
1.
I mean, anything less? Can I get a 0.5?
I'm doing a 0.5 also.
Yeah, I get a 0.5?
Okay, fine.
I'm doing a 0.5. No, this is a piece of shit.
Say 1. I'll stand by it.
Yeah, this movie just sucks. Like, it was just not fun to watch. It didn't age well.
It wasn't fun to watch, was it? Like, as I was watching it, I was just like, this isn't, it's not paced well. It's not shot well.
You can't even have it in the background when you're with friends at a house, having beers.
I kept getting bored.
I wouldn't even say this is a good makeout movie. And, in very few movies, would I say that this is a bad makeout movie.
I would stop making out, but what the fuck is this?
Yeah. For the movie for me to be, a makeout movie, something cool needs to fucking happen to me to get kind of weird enough aroused and to be like, hell yeah, do you want to make out? Not to sound weird, but something cool needs to happen.
Not to sound weird, he says, is he says something that's
he's like, but there's not enough people dying on screen. I can't get off on this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Where I'm alright, so you know how Randy in Scream is always here comes the part where we see the breasts, mm-hmm. and everyone goes, oh! We don't even have a moment like that in Resurrection.
No titties.
You know what I'm saying? There is no, not just a titty, but just a part where you're anticipating, oh, here it comes,
there
here it
are
comes.
No titties in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't think
there's
kind of was.
There was I'm going to reveal my thing, and then she was but no, I'm being a,
This movie,
there are no tits
dude,
in this movie.
This movie,
boom.
This movie could have been almost PG-13, dude.
It really could have been.
Was
almost,
this R?
R, but
that's
like,
stupid.
That's
so that is stupid.
This is
R.
A light R.
It's the MPAA was just are you sure?
Yeah.
I mean, we could give it an R.
Yeah.
Oh, you think R is going to help your ticket sales? Okay, we'll make it R then. We'll make
it
R.
No, this thing was a hardcore PG-13 light R.
Honestly,
in that era.
I was having so much fun not talking about this movie. Once we started talking about it right now, it's definitely a 0.5.
Yeah,
definitely a 0.5.
Yeah, 0.5.
Now that we're there.
Dude, just the retcon alone, the bullshit story that they came up with, the decapitation from H2O, he was a paramedic, but he killed his larynx. That way he couldn't say nothing when he had the mask over him. That was such a bullshit cop out, man.
The retcon in the beginning, I'm just
terrible.
This is fucking stupid.
Terrible.
Garbage.
Garbage indeed. Let's call it here?
Yeah, let's call it here. We're getting too hot this episode,
please.
To be honest with you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you for bearing with us. That was Halloween Resurrection from 2002.
And Phil getting no erection while making out during this movie. Just
no. Zero boners.
No.
Zero.
But I don't want to end this on a bad note. I just want to say one thing. Thank you guys one more time for having me on board.
Always
a pleasure.
Always so much fun.
I hope you guys enjoyed the candy.
Yeah. Reese's made my day.
I knew this was going to be a, shitted on movie topic that we're going to. So I was like, how can I, besides showing my face, how can I make this, brighter?
Yeah, on the audio medium, yes.
I brought candy.
Yeah, he did.
Thank you, really
made a big difference.
Yes.
That was Halloween Resurrection from 2002. Next week, we are talking about another problematic fave.
Oh, and it's a whole theme month, baby. That's right.
Yes. We're going into May. Do we want to announce the theme?
Oh, absolutely, because we do a theme every May. This one is Summer Camp Horror.
Yes.
That's right. We're doing camp horror, so a lot of stuff's going to be happening around lakes and fucking tents and cabins.
And, you know, I was upset about titties this week.
Oh, this full of titties.
May is just going to be full of tits.
We could have called it Titty May, and it would have been exactly as accurate.
The same exact month.
Yeah.
So I hope you'll join us next week.
Oh, we should do a tit tier list at the end.
A titty tier list
at the end. That'd be fantastic.
I love that. So yeah, so join us next week for that. I'm very excited to talk about it. It's a bit of a problematic
thing. Oh my god.
But it is a classic. I'm sure that gives it away enough.
Please have a theory corner. I can't wait.
Oh god. Yeah, so I'm very excited to talk about that. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you for staying with the episode this long if you're listening.
Yeah, we could talk about everything but Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for bearing with me. Hopefully next time, next week, I will be sounding even better.
Yay!
I'm still recovering. So thank you so much to everyone who also reached out to make sure I was okay. I appreciate and love all of you. If you like what you heard on this episode, please rate the podcast where you're listening. If you're listening on iTunes and or Spotify, and if you are listening on iTunes, you can write us a review. It does help other people find the podcast, and this is the time of year where we could absolutely use your support.
Yeah, Phil, you better put 5 stars on that thing.
I already have.
Yeah.
Speaking of support, if you want to support us, us as people, we have a Patreon. The podcast is a Patreon. We are at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. We offer tiers as low as $5 a month. So for the cost of a single coffee, you can help support two people who are just trying to live their podcasting dream.
That's right.
And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
That's me.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. As Phil alluded to earlier, I am currently fixating in the worst way on Taika Waititi. holy shit. Call me. Yeah, so you can stay up to date with all of my thirst posting there.
There you go.
Nice. In the meantime,
Phil, got a plug also.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can find me also on Instagram, Twitter. I go by Shut the Phil Up. And
yes.
Twitch, as I plugged it earlier. If you're on Twitch, come hang out sometime. I'm usually streaming Tuesdays and Thursdays.
You're okay. And this is not me bullshitting. Like, and I know he's right here, so he can have any kind of undue influence, but I swear to God, his Twitch streams are so much fun.
Oh, true.
We always have like really fun discussions, and there's always a really fun theme.
That's so
and
cool.
I always just get to pop in and just like, even if it's only for a little bit, I get to talk about something fun, and we all just kind of have a great time.
Yeah.
And like, it's always fun to watch you play something.
You'll occasionally
cool.
find me in the chat talking shit. So
I appreciate
going.
That. I appreciate that. Yeah. I just started this thing a couple months ago, and I've been having a blast. I recommend it for you two to jump on it, and if you've always wanted to jump into Twitch, go ahead and do it. It's you know, it's a little technical mumbo jumbo shit, but it's easy. You know, watch a couple of YouTube videos and you got it. So
yeah, see,
that's so, pretty much what I did.
Twitch 101 from Mr. Asa.
That's how you do it. Yeah. That's how you do it. Just Twitch 101.
Just
so
figure it out.
But that's it, man. Just follow your dreams, watch movies, especially horror movies. Shout out to Enrique Daddy Myers.
Oh my god. We gotta isolate that and send it to him.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much everyone for listening, and if Busta Rhymes asks you to go into a haunted house, just say no.
Or roundhouse kick him.
Yes.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
Bye. Bye guys.
Later.